Good morning and welcome each one here to this part of the service. I can say it was good for me to be here this morning. I too appreciated the devotions on wisdom and also the Sunday school lesson as we looked at that. This morning, the message I feel God has laid in my heart, as I was sitting here just now, thought maybe it's a little bit unbalanced for a mixed audience, maybe. It was mentioned already that today is Father's Day, and I think it's good and fine to remember special days. We have a Mother's Day. We celebrate Mother's Day. Around a month later, we celebrate Father's Day. And I realize there are some here this morning that no longer have their father with them for various reasons. But this morning, there are many fathers here. And I would like to speak to you this morning. Speak to myself this morning. I was listening to a message this week, and he wasn't giving an excuse, but he said, you know, so often we preachers, we try to lay out the perfect plan that God has for us. And I believe that's what we need to do. But at the same time, we lay out the perfect plan knowing that we preachers are human. And we preach what the gospel says, and then we go home and we remember what we said, but we're human. And sometimes, sad to say, we don't always live up to what we just preached. And it's not an excuse, but it's reality. We're human. We face struggles just like everyone. And sometimes I wonder if the devil isn't attacking us even more. Maybe not, but we just preach the will of God, and he puts us to the test. So this morning, I feel that's a little bit the way it is this morning as I think about preaching to fathers. You definitely are looking at someone that is human and has his share of struggles and even though it's my desire to be faithful. Did just a little bit of research on fathers and on the Father's Day and the absence of fathers in the home. And in 2022, there were approximately 18.3 million children living in America without a father in the home. And that amounts to about 25% of children. One in four children. Just a few statistics that I thought were interesting. It is known that 85% of youth in prison come from fatherless homes. 71% of high school dropouts come from fatherless homes. 90% of all homeless and runaway children come from fatherless homes. And over 60% of youth suicides are from fatherless homes. And I don't know, maybe sometimes we fathers have a temptation to think that really, what am I really that important for the home and for my children's sake? And we don't like to draw attention to ourselves necessarily. But the reality of it is that God designed the home. And God designed the home with one man, one woman, for life. And God set the headship in order. That man was to be the head of the home and was to be the leader of the home. And the wife and the mother is to find her place as a helpmeet and in submission to the father and the husband. And this morning we understand that when a man and a woman take their place as God ordained it, it is a beautiful thing. You can see even in society families that might not necessarily be church-going people. Maybe they, but when they put the principles of the Bible to practice in their homes, it works, and it makes a difference. Some time ago, I was flying somewhere, and in airport, I like to observe people. And the one airport that I was in, there was a number of young families there that it was obvious that mom and dad were taking their place as it was supposed to be. They weren't Mennonites, but they looked to me like they were a Christian couple. And they had a number of young children. And they were, the father and mother were taking the place as God had ordained it. Father was in charge and mom was there too helping out. And it was beautiful. It stood out to me. The title of the message this morning is Fathers Leading with a Vision. You know, oftentimes in business life, sometimes you see a motto or a plaque on the wall behind the front desk of a business that states their mission statement for their business. And while we maybe do not have something formally written up for our homes, but I ask you fathers and you husbands this morning, do you have a vision for your family? Do you have a vision of where you would like your family to end up? And what are you doing about that vision? Probably as we think about leaders, we think about individuals that as we lived our lives and think back on our life, of leaders that maybe stood out to you more than others. Maybe, and I have leaders in my life that, as I think back, the example that they left was an example that still stands out to me, a good example. And possibly there have been leaders in your life that you can think of that maybe were not as commendable as others. But nevertheless, we as fathers are called to be leaders. And this morning I'm thankful that I am confident there are many faithful fathers here this morning that are endeavoring to the best of their abilities to lead your families. And I've been blessed as I observed your faithfulness. But, you know, children come into our homes. They come into our homes through various means. And I believe this morning that God places children in homes for a reason. And God has placed the children in your home for a reason. And God places the children that you have. He wants the children that you have are those that were placed by his providence and his will. And so this morning, parents, especially fathers, we have that responsibility to lead our families and to take the children that God has given to us and endeavor to instill in them a godly vision. And that's the goal of my message this morning, is simply to encourage the fathers here to lead your families by example of what a father should be. The word lead is a verb, and it's also a noun. The verb means to cause to go with one by holding them by the hand. You can lead a person. You can take your child, lead them by the hand. You can lead an animal. Maybe put a halter on them, lead them by the hand. You take them where you want them to go. As a noun, it's an initiative in an action, an example for others to follow. We take the lead on something and show someone how to do a job. We take them, we lead out and show them by example of where we want them or how we want them to do it. Lead is to show the way. To lead means there are other ways to go or other paths to take. If there was no need for a leader, if there was no other option, there would be no need to lead, right? There are alternatives in different paths to take. Vision has the idea of the ability to think about or plan the future with imagination or wisdom. We heard about wisdom this morning, the wisdom of God. Do you as a father or a parent this morning have a vision, or do we have a goal of what we want for our families? And I realized this morning that even though we have this vision and we do our best at leading our families, yet children still have this option of making their own choice. And just because we do our best doesn't necessarily guarantee success. But we know if we do not put our all into it, we are probably guaranteed failure. So do we put our all into it and give it all we have and fulfill the call that God has for us? As we think of vision, probably a verse that comes to all of our minds is in Proverbs 29, 17 and 18. And I'd like to read this verse this morning, even though it's somewhat taking it out of context. But nevertheless, I think it does fit in what we are thinking about this morning. Proverbs 29, verse 17 and 18. It says, "Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. Where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he." And this word vision here is referring to God's revelation as his word to the, as it was revealed to the prophets and so on. But do you have the word of God in your heart this morning as fathers? Can God say the same about you as he said about Abraham in Genesis 18, verse 19? It says, "For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken." And it's interesting to note that God spoke these words before Abraham had children. But God had this confidence in Abraham that he was going to teach his children the things of God. And as we look at Abraham, I'd like to read some verses from Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, verse 8 to 10. It says, "By faith Abraham, when he was called to go into a place where he should called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God." Did the vision of Abraham affect his life? It absolutely did. It completely took control of Abraham's life, his vision. His goal and his faith to please God affected today. And I believe this morning that the vision that we have for our families, a godly vision that we have for our families, affects our life today. We know we cannot attain a goal without first of all doing what it takes to reach the goal. And we think about, as I was thinking about this often, I thought about New Year's resolutions. You know, it's easy in the first part of the year to make a resolution, New Year's resolution, a goal, for whatever it might be, to, you know, whatever you want to put there. But, you know, we never will reach that goal unless we do something about it. If we feel like we need to lose a few pounds, 10 pounds, we're not going to lose weight unless we do something with our diet, right? Or exercise or something. It's the same way, I believe, with a godly vision for our families. We won't reach the goal unless we are willing to do something about it. What are you as fathers willing to do to sacrifice for your family so that they could be under a godly influence? Is that important to you? I trust it is. I have 5 points here that I'd like to consider this morning, and it's certainly not the only 5 points that can be noted for a father with godly vision. But what are some characteristics of a father with a godly vision? The first point seems quite simple and quite obvious. But number one, he is a godly man himself. That seems quite simple. Apparent that if we're going to have a godly vision, we want godly things for our family, it's obvious that we need to be a godly person ourselves. And in Matthew 6, verse 33, it says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." He knows what it's like to walk with God. He knows what it's like to allow God to control his life. And to give evidence of that, I'd like to read a couple of verses in Colossians 3. The first three verses of Colossians 3. And then I'd like to drop down and read verse 10. Colossians 3, verse 1 says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." Verse 10, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where is my affection this morning? What motivates me in life? What are the most important things to me? Are the things of God important to me? Following God, supporting the church, living out that new man, giving evidence of Christ living within. I believe a godly man lives in repentance of sin. He loves the word of God. In James 1, verse 5, we read that this morning in devotions. But if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. It's mentioned already, you know, we as fathers, who of us don't desire more wisdom? Decisions that need to be made. You know, sometimes we don't have a lot of time to think about the decision that's in front of us. We cry out for wisdom. How do we make the right decision? I believe it's God gives wisdom in times like that. The second point, I like to go to Ephesians chapter 5. I'd like to start reading in verse 15 and read to the end of the chapter. Verse 15 says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church and is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, and of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, and I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Second point, a father with a godly vision. A godly father loves his children's mother. I believe that is very important. We fathers, that we love our wives. And we probably say, well, how can, you know, that's very obvious. We do love our wives, and we do, and I'm sure we do. But nevertheless, the point I want to make here is that if we're going to have families that turn out with a godly vision, father and mother need to be together in their marriage. They need to have a strong marriage. Fathers, we are to love our husbands. We are to love our wives as Christ loved the church. And this passage stood out to me again as I read it again here a few days ago. You know, how much was Christ's love for the church? What did he do for the church? He gave himself for the church. He gave his all for the church. He died for the church. He sacrificed for the church. And we are called as husbands and fathers to do the same for our wife and children, to give our all for the good of our wife and family. Verse 31, I think, speaks of an important principle when it comes to marriage, is to leave father and mother. We know, we do that, we understand that. But two people with two different backgrounds, and we bring ourselves into a marriage relationship, and we start a new home. And, you know, there are many different ways of doing things, and it comes to very, very practical ways of how we operate our home. And I believe it's something that each couple needs to work through and needs to decide how they're going to operate their home in many practical ways. But in 1 Peter 3, verse 7, it says, "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto a weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." I believe this verse speaks very high, very clearly to we as husbands, giving honor unto the wife. That word honor simply means to esteem to the highest degree. The word also means precious. And in Romans 12, verse 10, it says, "Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another." The word honor in Romans 12, verse 10, and this word honor in 1 Peter 3, 7 is the same word. Do we honor our wives? Do we esteem them? Do we, and that can be worked out in so many practical ways of honoring our wife. Ephesians 5:21, the verse that we read, it says, "Submitting one to another." And, you know, when we honor someone, we are willing to please them, and we are willing to do what we can to honor them. And in 1 Peter 3, before verse 7, it talks about how Sarah reverenced Abraham and called him Lord and so on. You know, I believe Sarah and Abraham had a marriage that worked, and that she reverenced Abraham, but I would like to believe that he also was one that honored his wife as well. And also this verse in 1 Peter 3, it says that your prayers be not hindered. Could it be that, you know, is that something that we need to think about as we think about our marriage and our home? Do we as husbands treat our wives in a way that honors them and that leaves this verse that our prayers be not hindered? Just leave that as a challenge. Practical areas of honoring our wife and our family. Do we remember the special days that, whether it's birthdays or anniversaries or whatever it is, do we look out for our wife and giving and helping her with, you know, for me it's, you know, once in a while, do we go out and we maybe take our family out for a meal, or do we bring some food in, or do we, or whatever it might be, to give and help our wife out so she doesn't have to do so much. They're just practical areas, but they can go so far in a relationship. Along with this point, I believe that children also need to be loved and appreciated by their father. And I think that comes quite naturally for most of us. We love our children. We appreciate our children. We want the best for them. But do we tell them so? Do we commend them for a job well done? What about when we tell them to go do a job that they've never done before? Do we take the time to go teach them how to do that job instead of just telling them go do it and expect them to do the job like they had observed us doing it? Well, sometimes they can, but sometimes they need to be taught, to be shown how. You know, do we accept our children as they are? Each child has its own strengths and its own weaknesses. Each child has its own talents and abilities. Do I accept each child for how God made them? And encourage them to develop into the man or woman that God has created them to be? Just challenges for those fathers, for we as fathers. Do we do that? I trust we do. Number three, a godly father leads by example. In John 10, Jesus compared his followers to sheep. And it talks about there in John 10 how that Jesus is the shepherd and his followers are the sheep. He calls his sheep by name. And if we look into that, I think we probably all have, but we know that sheep are led. Sheep are not driven. And, you know, as we think about Christ and his leadership and his example to the church, I believe that as we look at Christ's leadership, his leadership was of servant leadership. Leading by example, being willing to lead your family by first living out yourself. I think that's so important as we think about trying to convey to our children a godly vision that we have for our families. I wonder sometimes if servant leadership isn't possibly misunderstood as simply a leader who is permissive and not wanting to draw clear boundaries. I believe servant leadership is one who is compassionate. He's loving. He's understanding. Yet with firm, clear boundaries and expectations. And we see that in Jesus himself. Jesus, I believe, was a servant leader who led out by example. In Mark 10, verse 29, I believe gives an example of Jesus doing that. And it's the account of the rich young ruler who came to Jesus, and we know the story. But verse 21 says, Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, One thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and take up the cross and follow me. Christ loved this young man. He knew what this young man was facing. He knew what was holding him back. But yet there was clear expectation. There was a clear line that for him it was to go sell what he had and give to the poor and then come take up his cross. And I believe that's the way it is with fathers that have a godly vision, that they not only are they loving and compassionate, and not only do they want the best for their children, but they also have a clear line of that the children understand. And in Proverbs, it talks about different places about the need to correct your child. In Proverbs 13:24, it says, He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth betimes. You know, correcting children is never an enjoyable task, is it? We as fathers, we understand that. We know that. There are many things that we'd rather do than do that. But nevertheless, it's needful. And I believe that's where being a father that is understanding, that knows your child, sometimes I believe by knowing your child, it takes wisdom. But we know what type of punishment works the best sometimes for each child. And I believe it's our responsibility to administer that to them when it's needful. Ephesians 6 verse 4 says, And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. A challenge for all of us fathers to bring our children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and to let a clear example to them by following Christ ourselves. And examples can be lived out in so many practical ways. So many practical ways. You know, how do we respond when we're driving and someone takes advantage of us? Do our boys and our children that are riding with us, do they see our response when something happens on the road that rubs us the wrong way? What about the way we talk about other people? I believe that's so important. It's so critical in shaping our children's character and the way they view others is how do we talk about them? How do they hear mom and dad talking about other people? What about the words we use when something unexpectedly happens and to us when we're not expecting it? You know, us, we fathers, we have different jobs, and things happen. Things happen to us, and you know, whether it's, you know, you're working on a piece of equipment and you get up and you hit your head when you're getting up and it takes you by surprise. How do we respond? Simple things like that. What about when you get a call and you're already busy and you have your day pretty much planned out and if everything clicks right, we should be able to get things done, but then we get a call from your wife and says, you know, the lawnmower doesn't start or the tire went flat and we thought we had just fixed it. And we, you know, it's like, how do we respond to that? Everyday practical examples that I believe send a message to our children. Or what about a neighbor that needs help? How do we respond to that? You know, we're human and we make mistakes. Sometimes we respond wrong. I think we all will admit that. I will admit that. But I believe sometimes that even in those times, it's a teaching experience for our children. when dad realizes that he done wrong, and he goes to his child and says, you know, I should not have said that word. I should not have responded that way, and I'm sorry. I believe that that is also a way of building respect in our children, because children know it. If your children are of age and they can think through things, they know when dad makes a mistake. And the only thing worse is not admitting it. Dad also teaches his children submission by how he submits to his authority. Number four, godly fathers teach their children the scriptures. God was interested in that. In Deuteronomy 6, where we won't take the time to read that, but where God was concerned that when they get to the land of Canaan and things go well and they prosper, that they would not forget what God had done for them. And God specifically commanded that the fathers and the parents to teach their children, and not only to teach them through words and through teaching them by recounting history, but also by, it says, even to the hanging, I'm not for sure what word it used there anymore, but hanging matas, keeping the word of God in front of your children at all times. Do your children see that you love the scriptures? Do they see you reading the word of God? Do they see you praying? Do they hear you pray? All that's important, but I believe that even beyond that, I believe the best way to teach scriptures to the children is by living out the scriptures ourselves. Number five, the last point. I'd like to turn to the book of Proverbs for that. Proverbs 4. Proverbs 4, verse 18 through 27 says, "But the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil." A godly father takes great care to make decisions for his family that keep them on a safe course. This word in verse 26, it says, to ponder the path of thy feet, to think, to consider. I would like to think it has the thought of being perceptive. Is the path that I have chosen for my family one that is bringing about the end result that I want? And I think sometimes, at least for myself, it's good to just sit back and compare, you know, think back in my life and compare where I was however many years ago and where we are today. Is the course that we are on one that I am comfortable with the vision that I've had, that I have for my children? Young men, ponder the path of thy feet. Think about the decisions that you made in the past year. Are they decisions that are drawing you closer to God? And young sisters, I ask you the same question. Are the decisions that you have made in the past year, something that is drawing you closer to God? And if it is, continue on. Be unashamed of it. Continue on. If it's not, change. It's up to each one of us to decide which path we travel. Verse 18 But the path of the just is of the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. I love that verse. The path of the just, as we follow God, as we search the scriptures, as we apply the scriptures to our life, as we obey the scriptures, the path of the just is a shining light. It continues to illuminate our path ahead of us, and it continues to bring clarity to our lives as we follow God. I believe a true leader leads, and sometimes he doesn't always get it right, but when a leader realizes a mistake, he changes. And I would like to let this with all of us this morning. To correct a mistake is not weakness, it is strength. And so let's remember that as fathers. Let's have a vision. Let's be men of conviction. Let's lead our families so that God could bless us and God could bless our families and the church and the community around us. Let's pray.